After they had eaten, the group got ready to ride. Esteban picked two of the Yaquis to go with them, Pablo and Joaquin. The group that rode up the canyon was twice as big as the one the day before. Preacher hoped that would make them twice as lucky. When the group reached the top of the canyon, Preacher split them up, telling Juanita to stay close to her brother. One of the Yaquis was sent with Father Hortensio, and he took the other engine with him. Again, they divided the shelf into rough thirds, but today there would be two people searching in each area, and on foot rather than from horseback. What's your name?
Pablo, senor.
Well, now, you keep your eyes open, Pablo. We're probably looking for a cave or something like that. It's a cinch all that loot ain't stashed right out in the open. Preacher didn't know how much Pablo understood of what he was saying, but the Yaqui nodded and seemed to know what Preacher meant. They spread out. Preacher poked under rocks and prodded at the ground and pulled aside the scrubby bushes that grew out of the cuff in places. Dog bounded around enthusiastically at first, but then he sat down and looked puzzled when he realized there weren't any rabbits up here for him to chase.
Wait a minute. Why aren't there any rabbits up here?
Preacher hadn't seen any birds in the trees or any varmints of any kind, not even a lizard. There were no tracks to indicate that deer or bears ever came up here to forage.
What the hell?
Preacher hadn't really noticed it the day before, but there was a lingering trace of brimstone in the air. It was very faint, so much so that if he hadn't been looking for something odd, he might not have even smelled it now. More than once, he had been to an area up north of the Tetons known as Coulter's Hell, because John Coulter had been the first white man to lay eyes on the place. It suited its name. Boiling water shot up out of the ground, and there were molten pools of mud and ash that gave off such a noxious scent that they sure seemed like the doorways to Hades. The scent that Preacher smelled now was a little like that, only nowhere near as strong. He knew that the geysers and the stink in Coulter's Hell came from volcanic action far below the earth. Maybe something was going on a much smaller level than these mountains. Though he hadn't seen it for himself, he had heard about an area somewhere here in Nuevo Mexico where an ancient volcano had erupted far in the past and left a layer of black, razor-sharp lava all over the ground for miles around. Maybe there was another volcano around here, long dormant but still bubbling deep in its bowels, and from time to time some of the pressure that built up was vented off through fissures in this cliff. That might be enough to make animal life avoid the place.
Well, that might make animals stand clear of this spot, but it sure don't put me any closer to finding the damn treasure.
Preacher looked along the cliff toward Pablo, who was poking around at the base of the cliff about 100 yards away. As Preacher watched, the Yaqui suddenly straightened. And then he was gone, vanished as if he had never been there.
Shit!
The mountain man's long legs carried him quickly toward the spot where Pablo had vanished. When he reached the place, he dropped to his knees beside a hole in the ground, an irregular circle a little less than 3 feet in diameter. It was located right against the base of the cliff, and enough sunlight penetrated the hole so the preacher could see that it sloped backward underneath the huge stone wall.
Pablo, I'm here, hang on!
Preacher turned his head and saw that horse and dog had followed him over here, as he expected. There was a rope coiled on the big horse's saddle. Preacher sprang up and ran to get it. He was uncoiling the rope as he reached the hole again.
I'm gonna throw a rope down to you, Pablo. Grab onto it and I'll haul you out of there.
Hurry, senor! I cannot hold on much longer! My hands, they slip!
Preacher tossed the rope down the hole, paying out as much of it as he could and still keep a good grip on it.
Hey, there it is! Grab hold!
I cannot! Senor!
Go, Pablo!
Senor? Senor?
You all right, Pablo?
See? The fall! She was a short one.
Can you see anything?
No, senor. All is dark.
Well, if you're set good, don't move. No telling if there are any other holes down there. You go to rustling around, you might fall again.
I will not move, senor.
Confident that Pablo would be all right if he just stayed calm and still, Preacher hurried over to the nearest trees and found a branch that had broken off some time in the past. He brought it back to the hole and pulled up some dry grass that he wrapped around one end of the branch and tied in place. He tied the rope to the other end of the branch. Then he gathered some more grass, took flint and steel from his pouch, and quickly struck some sparks to get a fire going. When he had a tiny flame and a little curl of smoke, he leaned over and puffed on it until it grew into a large enough fire so that he could light the makeshift torch.
I'm gonna lower a torch to you, Pablo, so you can see where you are.
Si, senor!
Preacher used the rope to lower the torch into the hole.
I have the torch, senor! Madre de Dios!
What is it?
Senor! We have found the treasure!
You sure?
There are wooden chests and big bags, just as the padre told us there would be. What else could it be? Do you want me to open some of them?
No. Just hang on a minute. What's the cave like?
Not too big. Large enough for the treasure, but not much more.
Any other holes that lead deeper?
No. Only some small cracks in the rocks. It smells bad in here.
Untie the rope from that torch.
While the Yaqui was doing that, Preacher tied the other end to horse's saddle.
It's loose, senor.
All right, I'm coming down. I'm gonna fire a shot first, though, so the others will come on over here, just in case something goes wrong and we need some help.
With that done, Preacher positioned horse near the hole in the ground.
Stay here, old hoss. Don't move.
Preacher gripped the rope tightly and started lowering himself into the hole. When Preacher looked over his shoulder, he could see a red glow in the darkness that came from the torch Pablo held. About 15 feet below the surface, the slanting shaft turned and dropped straight down. Preacher's legs dangled over the edge, and the feeling of empty air underneath him made his hands tighten instinctively on the rope.
It is not far, senor. Only a few feet.
Preacher hung over the edge, looked around, and saw that Pablo was right. The floor of the cave was only a couple of feet below his boots. He let go of the rope. The cave was a rough square, about 15 feet on a side. Pablo stood holding the torch in front of a stack of about a dozen wooden chests. Next to the chest was a pile of sailcloth bags. Preacher stepped over to him and rested a hand for a moment on one of the bags. He could feel some sort of solid object through the cloth. He had known about the lost treasure of Mission Santo Domingo for only a few days. Finding it had not been a long-held goal for him the way it was for Esteban and Juanita and Father Hortensio. Yet Preacher still felt a fierce sense of exultation for a moment.
Is it the treasure we seek, senor?
Yep, it sure as hell is.
Preacher moved over to one of the wooden chests. A simple brass latch held the lid closed. There was no lock. The guttering light from the torch shone on the gold ingot stacked inside the chest.
Madre de Dios!
Yeah.
Preacher! Where are you?
We're down here and sold the treasure.
Praise be to God!
Aren't you all right?
Where is Pablo?
Pablo's here with me. We're both fine. Hang on a minute. We'll climb out.
We leave the treasure here, senor?
Yeah, just for now. That torch ain't gonna last much longer. We'll have to get some better light down here, and then we'll figure out how to get the treasure up to the surface. Don't worry. It ain't going anywhere till we move it.
The two men quickly climbed back out of the hole. When Preacher emerged from the hole, Juanita threw her arms around his neck and hugged him.
Please, senorita, there is no need for such a display.
Without Preacher, we might never have found the treasure, Father. He deserves our thanks.
Well, now it was Pablo who found the cave.
By falling into it, senor, I thought I was a dead man.
Yeah, I was a mite concerned about you when you slipped off that edge. Without any light down there, there was no way of knowing just how deep the cave was or how far the drop was going to be.
Just far enough to twist my ankle a bit when I landed. A price I will gladly pay to do the Lord's work.
Juanita hugged Pablo, too, making the grim-faced Yaqui look a little uncomfortable, and Esteban slapped him on the back. Father Hortensio was too busy praying to issue any congratulations. Preacher knelt and studied the hole.
You know, I rode along here yesterday. I should have noticed a hole that big.
But it was not that big, senor. It was small, like the burrow of an animal, and I had to move a rock aside to get a good look at it. When I did, the ground gave way beneath my feet and I fell.
Yeah? The way you dropped out of sight, I figured something like that happened. Maybe old Don Francisco and his men filled in most of the upper part of the opening, rolled that rock over it as a landmark. They could have figured that they would dig back down to the cave when they came back for the loot.
But they never returned, and over the years, rain washed out some of the earth they used to block the tunnel until it was open again, except on top.
Yep, that's the way it looks to me. Pablo came along and moved the rock, which changed the stress on the ground, and then stepped where he shouldn't, and it all went out from under him.
What is that smell?
Volcanic gas, would be my guess. It's coming from underground somewheres. There are cracks in the cave wall down there, and the stink is coming through them.
It smells like the very fires of Hades itself. To think that relics dedicated to the Lord have been sealed away in that hellhole for all these years, it is shameful.
Yeah, well, them Pueblo Indians would have melted them down if they'd got their hands on them. Then they would have been gone for good.
What do we do now? How do we get the treasure out of there?
The first thing we need to do is to gather some dead branches and some brush and toss it down the hole. That way we can make a little fire down there so we can see what we're doing. The torch we had down there is burned out by now. Now once we've done that, somebody can climb down, get the fire started, tie a rope to one of those bags. The rest of us can pull it up. It'll take a while, and we might have to use horse to lift them chests full of gold bars, but by God, we'll get her done.
It's hard to believe we finally found it. This has been a dream of mine ever since I first read the old manuscript, penned so long ago by my ancestor.
You can believe it, amigo. Now let's get to work.
Esteban and Father Hortensio both insisted on going down into the cave so that they could see the treasure where it had been hidden for the past century and a half. Preacher figured it wouldn't hurt anything, so he didn't argue the matter. Once they had thrown enough branches and dried brush into the hole, he shinnied down the rope again and got the fire started. Father Hortensio came first.
Madre de Dios!
Father Hortensio dropped to his knees in front of the treasure and crossed himself. That made Preacher frown. It didn't seem right somehow for a holy man to be so impressed by a pile of riches. Esteban crossed himself too as he looked at the heaped up treasure, but at least he stayed on his feet. He went over to one of the bags and untied the rawhide thong that held it closed. He opened the bag and reached inside to withdraw an object wrapped in oilcloth.
Esteban, what are you doing? It is not our place to disturb these relics. They should not be unwrapped until we have returned them to the mission where they belong.
I understand, Father, but after all this time, I must see for myself that we have succeeded. I will do nothing to dishonor whatever artifact this may be.
Underneath the oilcloth was another layer of coverings, this one of fine linen. Esteban unwound it carefully, and the firelight suddenly gleamed on the heavy candlestick that was revealed. It appeared to be cast of solid gold. Esteban's hand shook a little as he peered down at what he held.
That candlestick should be on an altar, not in this cave that stinks of the very devil himself. Please, Esteban.
You are right, Father.
Esteban began to carefully wrap up the candlestick again, with Father Hortensio's help. Meanwhile, Preacher tried to heft one of the chests. Preacher was able to lift it slightly, but he knew he could never climb up the shaft with it. He was confident that Horse could raise it, though. They'd probably need a second rope so that the two of them could be fastened around the chest.
We'll get the bags out first.
Preacher tied the rope to the bag. He stepped over to the opening of the shaft, carrying the bag.
Haul away!
The rope grew taut as Pablo and Joaquin began pulling it up hand over hand. A bag of holy relics rose from the floor of the cave. Preacher took hold of it and reached above his head to guide it into the shaft. The bag disappeared from sight.
You fellas might as well climb out when the rope comes back down. I can handle this part of the chore, at least for now. Might need a hand when it comes time to boost those chests up, though.
I think you should go back to the surface, Preacher. It is still possible that the men who attacked us several days ago could have been trying to stop us from reaching the treasure, rather than simply intending to rob and murder us. If that is true, they could still be around, waiting to, jump us again. I would feel better if you were up there to protect us while we work.
Well, you might be right about that. Yeah, I'll climb up and keep an eye on things.
A few minutes later, the end of the rope came slithering down the shaft again and dropped into the cave.
I'm coming up!
Professor Rufus Chambers could barely contain his excitement as he lowered the spyglass.
They found the treasure, I'm sure of it.
Kobe Larson reached for the spyglass.
Let me see.
There's some sort of tunnel. Preacher and one of the Indians climbed out of it. Now, there must be a cave down there below the cliff. What better place for Don Francisco to have concealed the treasure?
Chambers and his group of hired gunmen had followed the Alvarez party along the river that morning. And when everyone except the Yaquis who had remained with the wagons had started up the canyon across the way, Chambers had suspected that was the one Don Francisco had talked about in his manuscript. Arnie Ross, who seemed to be more intelligent than he appeared, had suggested that some of them climb to this ledge on the opposite side of the river where they might be able to see what was going on at the head of the canyon, where Preacher and the others had gone. The climb had been long and hard, but it had been rewarded. From this vantage point, with the help of the spyglass, they could see what was going on over there, a good half mile straight across the valley of the Purgatoire. A distant shot had drawn their attention and helped them to focus on the right place.
Yeah, you're right. They're throwing branches and such down the hole, so they must be planning to build a fire in that cave.
There's no point in waiting any longer. We need to climb back down, join up with the rest of the fellas, and get over there and jump those folks before they know we're anywhere around.
Sounds good to me, Ross.
Wait just a moment. Perhaps it would be better to wait and let them bring all the treasure out of the cave before we make our move.
Hell no. I didn't have a problem with letting them find the cash. But there are plenty of us to haul it up out of that cave. We need to jump them now, while all their attention is on what they're doing. If we wait until they brought the treasure out and loaded it onto the wagons, Preacher will be on his guard even more than he was before. I want that son of a bitch dead before he knows what's hit him.
I think you are right, my friend. Let's go. It'll take us a while to climb down, and then we have to get up that canyon and take them by surprise.
That'll mean killing the Yaqui they left with the wagons.
Yes, so it will.
Preacher climbed out of the hole and saw that the first bag of treasure had been tied to the saddle of the horse that had carried the two Yaquis up here.
I thought we could go ahead and send Joaquin down to the wagons with it, but I wanted to be sure you approved of that first, Preacher.
Well, we need to get all the loot out first so we can carry as much down as we can at one time. We'll want to ride guard on it, too, in case anybody tries to take it away from us.
Do you think that is possible?
Anything's possible. Especially when you're dealing with a fortune in gold.
Very well. I trust your judgment, Preacher.
For the next hour, they worked steadily. Preacher checked the other horses, but none of them had a rope tied to the saddle, which put a minor crimp in his plans. They could pull the chests out with only one rope, but it would be a trickier chore, and they would have to be careful not to break the rope or let any of the chests slip out of the loop and fall while they were being hauled up. He was sure they could manage, though. In the meantime, raising the bags of relics to the surface one at a time was fairly easy, although time-consuming. They had to take a break from the work, too, while Father Hortensio climbed out of the cave. He was rather pale.
Oh, I do not know what is sickened more, my stomach from the fumes or my soul from the reminder they carry of the infernal realm ruled by El Diablo.
You figure hell is really down there under the ground, Padre?
Where else would it be?
I don't know. Don't reckon I've ever really thought that much about it.
You should spend more time in religious contemplation.
I should, huh?
The men got back to work, and the pile of bags on the ground near the entrance to the cave continued to grow.
This is the last bag, Preacher.
All right, we'll haul it up, then I'll climb down and we'll see about bringing those chests out of there.
A few minutes later, the bag was on the surface and added to the pile that had grown over the past hour. Preacher took hold of the rope and let himself down into the cave. Preacher found Esteban waiting for him with one of the chests open. The young man reached into it and took out one of the heavy bars of gold.
I have been thinking, Preacher. You should take this.
And why would I want to do that?
You deserve it for all the help you have given us. The church is willing to let Juanita and me keep some of the gold so that we can revive our family's fortunes. You are equally deserving.
Oh, a bar of gold would just weigh me down. Anyway, ain't like I'm heading back to St. Louis or some other place where I could do anything with it. Once I get back to my old stomping grounds in the Rockies north of here, I wouldn't have no use for any gold.
You are certain?
Certain, sure. I might let the church buy me some supplies once we get back down to the trading post, if Father Hortensio will go along with it.
I will see that he does.
Esteban replaced the ingot in the chest and closed it. He and Preacher got at each end of the chest and lifted it up. The two men carried it over to where the rope went. Preacher looped the rope around the chest so that it crisscrossed itself before he tied it securely. The chest couldn't slip out of that arrangement. The only question was whether a single rope was strong enough to lift the great weight of the chest.
All right, somebody lead horse away from the shaft. The rest of you haul on the rope too.
As the rope grew taut, Preacher and Esteban lifted the chest as well, boosting it toward the opening of the shaft. They had to raise themselves on their toes to guide the heavy box into the opening. Then Preacher stepped back.
Esteban, you get back too. That rope was to snap. We don't want that chest falling back down on us. It's heavy enough to bust a fellow's head wide open.
The chest is here! We have it!
Good! Untie the rope and toss it back down and we'll get the next one ready to haul up.
Preacher stood underneath the opening now, waiting for the end of the rope to tumble back down to the cave. When it didn't appear after a moment, he began to frown.
Juanita! Something wrong up there?
Rufus Chambers, Arnie Ross, and Kobe Larson climbed down and rejoined Burt McDermott, Hardy Powers, George Worthy, Wick Jimson, and Chuck Stilson.
What'd you find out? Have they found the treasure?
Yeah, Burt. We saw them bring it up out of a hole in the ground on a shelf up at the head of that canyon.
Are we going to get it?
Yeah. Mount up. They left a couple of the Yakis with the wagons at the mouth of the canyon. We'll take care of them first and then sneak up on the others.
The men swung up into their saddles. They started along the river toward the spot where the Alvarezes had left the wagons. Kobe called a halt before they got there, and the men dismounted.
Arnie and me will take care of those Yakis quiet-like, so the ones up at the other end of the canyon won't hear anything.
The two men set off on foot, slipping quietly through the trees. Using every bit of cover they could find and moving with all the stealth they could muster, the two hard cases snuck up on the wagons. Kobe lifted a hand to signal a stop when they were about 50 yards away, crouched behind some brush. He peered through a gap in the dense foliage to study the layout. The Yakis had left the team hitched and had hobbled the mules. One of the engines sat on the lower tailgate of the second wagon, a rifle across his knees. The other engine prowled near the mouth of the canyon. He, too, carried a rifle.
How are we going to get them? We can't get close enough to jump them without them seeing us.
We got to lure them over here some way. And when we jump them, we got to kill them quick, so they don't even have time to yell.
Kobe began making a faint rustling sound in the brush, the sort of sound that a small animal might make. He had to be careful not to make too much noise. If too many branches began to crackle, the Yakis might decide there was a bear or a wolf or some other big varmint in here and just blaze away at it. He had to get them curious enough to investigate, but not worried enough to shoot first and check to see what they were shooting at later. The Yaki on the tailgate heard the noise first. He looked toward the brush and frowned. Kobe continued to shake the brush a little. Kobe stopped for several seconds while the Yaki was watching. Then he started it again, like an animal that had paused briefly in whatever it was doing. The Yaki at the wagon stood up. One over by the canyon mouth walked toward him. Together, they started toward the brush where the gringos were concealed. Kobe slid his knife out of its sheath and motioned for Ross to do likewise. He gripped the weapon tightly, ready to throw it. Beside him, Arnie was tense with anticipation. Kobe knew that Arnie Ross was deadly with a knife. That was just one of the many ways in which folks usually underestimated the round little man who was so much more dangerous than he appeared. Kobe stopped making the rustling sound when the Yakis were about 10 feet away from the line of brush. The two engines stopped as well and waited to see if the rustling would resume. With a nod to Arnie, Kobe suddenly burst out of the brush. Arnie did the same. Kobe's knife buried its blade deep into the chest of one of the Yakis. Arnie's throw was even better, the blade lodging in the other engine's throat so that he couldn't cry out. Kobe ran toward the Yaki he had just downed. Kobe ripped the rifle out of the man's hands and threw it aside. He locked his hands around the man's neck. Both of the Yakis seemed dead. Kobe pushed himself to his feet, while Arnie went back to fetch the rest of the party. When they were all together again, Kobe stepped forward.
We'll leave the horses down here and go up the canyon on foot. We don't want the others to hear horses coming and get spooked.
I don't know if I can make it that far on foot, Larson.
You're damned well better if you want to share the loot, Stilson. We're all going up there, so the odds will be as much on our side as possible. You too, Professor.
Of course. You can count on me. I'll do my part.
Reckon you can make it, Wick?
I can go anywhere you says to go.
That's a spirit. Everybody check your pistols. And then let's go kill us some pilgrims and get us some gold.
But not the girl. We won't kill her.
No. We won't kill her.
Yaki's name was Benedicto. He had no idea how much time had passed since blackness had claimed him. When the gringo's choking hands had sent him into oblivion, Benedicto had believed that he was dying. But somehow, he had clung to life, and now he had made the long, slow climb back to consciousness. The knife that had penetrated his body was gone, pulled back out by the man who had thrown it. Blood had followed, welling out of the wound so that the front of Benedicto's shirt was soaked with the stuff. Even though his chest was on fire, the rest of him was cold. As cold as a winter morning high in the mountains. He could barely feel his hands and feet. He managed to pull himself upright anyway. And as he stumbled to his feet, he lifted his pain-blurred eyes and looked around. The gringos were gone. He didn't know how many of them there had been. He remembered seeing two, maybe more. They had killed Ismael and wounded him, then left. Even through the fog of pain that shrouded his brain, Benedicto was able to think clearly enough to realize what must have happened. The gringos had sneaked up, attacked him and Ismael, and then gone up to the canyon to kill the others and steal the holy treasure.
Padre.
Señor Esteban and Señorita Juanita were in danger too. Benedicto wanted to help them. He cared nothing for the man called Preacher. Preacher was a gringo and a heathen, and therefore less than nothing. But the others, including Pablo and Joaquin, Benedicto had to help them. He looked around for his rifle, but even after he found it, he knew he lacked the strength to lift it and carry it up the canyon. His hand went to his waist. His knife was still there in its sheath. He could handle the knife. Benedicto stumbled toward the mouth of the canyon. In the twisting canyon, men could move just about as fast on foot as on horseback. Kobe led the way, setting a quick pace. He had known the canyon twisted and turned, but he was surprised that it snaked around as much as it did. It was almost enough to make a man dizzy. It took him over an hour to reach the top.
Arnie, you and me'll take Preacher. He's got to go down fast and hard since he's the most dangerous of the bunch. We'll fire at the same time. Bert, you'll line your sights on Preacher, too. And if Arnie and me don't drop him right away, it'll be up to you.
Kobe turned to Powers and Worthy.
Now,
It'll be up to you two to get them Yakis, since they're probably the biggest threat after Preacher. Stilson, that leaves you and Wick to take care of the Alvarez boy. I don't know how good a shot he is, so aim good and we won't have to find out.
Yeah, I got it.
Wick, you understand? You're gonna take your gun and shoot at Esteban Alvarez. He's the young fellow who'll probably be wearing a sombrero.
I understand, Kobe. But I don't know why we're doing this. Why would I want to shoot at somebody who ain't shooting at me?
Because we want what he's got. You remember me telling you about the gold?
Oh, yeah, the gold. I remember now.
You just do what I tell you, and you'll get some of the gold.
All right, I'll be good. I promise, Kobe.
What about me? I can shoot too, you know.
You're like Bert, Professor. If any of the rest of us miss with our first shots, it'll be up to you to step in and finish the job.
Excellent. Are we ready?
I reckon we are. It's half a mile or more to that cliff where the cave is. There are plenty of trees between here and there for us to use as cover, though. I figure we can get within 50 yards of them without them knowing we're there. That'll be close enough to cut them down without any trouble. Let's go.
Everything went as planned. Now, Kobe, Arnie, and the others crouched in the trees, watching the people gathered around the mouth of the cave. No one had noticed their presence. Then things began to go wrong. Kobe realized with a scowl that he didn't see Preacher anywhere, or the Alvarez kid either. That meant the two of them had to be down inside the cave. There was a big pile of sailcloth bags near the horses. Professor Chambers slipped up next to Kobe and clutched his arm.
Those are the artifacts from the mission. The gold ingots are supposed to be in wooden chests.
They're still bringing the stuff up. Haven't gotten to the gold yet. Ross, Preacher's down in that hole. We'll have to wait for him to come up.
Yeah, we gotta kill him first.
Kobe motioned for the other men to just wait and be quiet. They had waited this long, they could be patient for a little while longer. Larson watched as Juanita Alvarez lowered the rope into the hole in front of the cliff again, and then waited. The other end of the rope was tied to the saddle of the big rangy horse that Preacher normally rode.
Look how taut that rope is. There's something heavy on the other end.
All right, somebody lead horse away from the shaft. The rest of you haul on the rope too.
The chest is here! We have it!
Good. Untie the rope and toss it back down and we'll get the next one ready to haul up.
Damn right there was something heavy on the other end. A fortune in gold.
Suddenly, pain jolted Kobe. Benedicto's knife lanced into his upper left arm. The rifle slipped out of his hand. Juanita Alvarez had obviously heard something, and she turned swiftly and saw Kobe stumble into the open, knocked forward by the half-dead Yaki who had just stabbed him.
Juanita! Something wrong up there?
Arnie Ross streaked forward, moving faster than a short-legged fat man had any business moving. He covered the ground between the trees and the cliff in a flash and tackled Juanita, clapping a hand over her mouth as he bore her to the ground. Kobe jerked his pistol from behind his belt and jammed it into Benedicto's face. Juanita Alvarez struggled madly in Ross's grip. His hands were like iron as he grasped her. Juanita felt her feet leave the ground as he lifted her and carried her toward the trees. Several other men stepped out of those trees and fired rifles at Father Hortensio and the two Yakis. Joaquin was grazed in the upper left arm. Father Hortensio was behind the horses, using the animals as cover from any more shots. Pablo had already grabbed his rifle and drew a bead on Powers. Joaquin knelt behind a pile of bags, knowing their contents might stop a rifle or pistol ball.
No, Joaquin, the holy relics must be protected!
One of the men loosed a round at him from a pistol.
No!
Sure enough, the ball smacked into the pile of sacks, but didn't penetrate all the way through it. Joaquin's shot passed close enough to the head of one of the men to make him duck frantically into the trees. All of the gringos were retreating now, including the one who had hold of Juanita. She continued to struggle until the fat gringo holding her drove a fist against the side of her head. There were two loaded pistols bolstered on the saddle of Preacher's horse. Joaquin grabbed the butts of the guns and jerked them from their holsters. But as he spun toward the trees and lifted them, Pablo caught one of his arms and stopped him from firing.
They have a señorita. If you shoot, you risk hitting her.
Joaquin hadn't thought of that. He nodded and lowered the pistols. Now that the shooting had stopped, Father Hortensio came out from behind the horses.
The gringos have stolen Señorita Juanita. What will we do? Oh, at least the holy relics and the gold are safe.
Now what the hell? Where's the Señorita?
They took her.
Who took her?
The gringos.
What? Where are they?
They fled. After they took Señorita Alvarez and tried to kill the rest of us, they ran off.
We tried to stop them, senor. I was wounded.
You hit bad?
The ball barely touched me.
Yeah, well, you were lucky. Get the rope back down the hole and help Senor Esteban out of there. And give me back my guns.
Preacher stalked toward the trees. Juanita's kidnappers were gone. The tracks they had left headed off straight toward the top of the canyon. And Preacher had no doubt they were on their way back down now, taking Juanita with them as prisoner. They had left behind a couple of dead men. One of them was a Yaqui. He had been shot in the face at close range, destroying most of his features. Preacher was still able to recognize him as one of the Indians who had been left with the wagons. The other man's identity was a mite more interesting. He was Hardy Powers, one of the so-called guides who worked for Professor Rufus Chambers. By the time Preacher stalked back to where the others waited, Esteban was on the surface, having climbed up the rope that the Yaquis had dropped down the shaft to him.
Where is Juanita? Did you see her?
No, they got her all right.
But who are they?
I don't know about all of them, but I got a pretty good idea one of them was that Professor Chambers.
I knew it. I thought I saw him for an instant in the trees. He had a pistol and fired at us, as did the others.
Yeah, Hardy Powers is dead over yonder. I reckon that fellow Worthy was probably with him, too.
Preacher looked at Pablo and Joaquin.
I hate to tell you fellas this, but one of your pards is over there, too, shot dead.
No!
Both of the Indians hurried toward the trees. Preacher turned back to Father Hortensio.
Tell me exactly what happened.
Should we not go after Juanita? Can you follow the trail they left?
Yeah, I reckon I can, but first, though, we need to know what we're up against. Now tell me what happened, Padre.
I'm not sure. We had just brought up the first chest of gold. Then Señorita Alvarez screamed. And when I looked around, I saw a gringo running toward her. A fat little gringo, but he moved very fast.
Go on.
At the edge of the trees, there was another gringo struggling with Benedicto.
What did he look like?
He was tall, a big man, strong looking. He wore buckskin clothing, much like yours, but with more beads and decoration on them. He had long, fair hair and a beard.
Son of a bitch, the bunch from the trading post.
Okay.
Never mind, go on.
The tall gringo shot Benedicto. Then other gringos stepped out of the trees and began shooting at us. I could not say how many there were. A half dozen, perhaps. I thought one of them was Professor Chambers, but I was not sure. We tried to fight back. Or rather, Pablo and Joaquin did. I, of course, did not.
You let them steal Juanita while you stood by and did nothing?
I am a man of God. A man of peace. I cannot allow my hands to be stained with blood.
Oh, heaven forbid. Go on with the story, Padre.
There is not much left to tell. The fat man carried Juanita into the trees, and then all of the gringos fled.
Why would they take her? Why?
Don't worry, Esteban. We're gonna get her back.
How can you know this?
Preacher nodded toward the sacks of treasure.
Because we still got something that they want.
Never in his wildest dreams would Kobe have thought that so much could go so wrong so goddamn fast. They had lost another man, and they didn't have any of the treasure they had set out to steal. Worst of all, Preacher was still alive. The only good thing to come out of this whole mess was that they now had the girl. They were about halfway down the canyon when Kobe called a halt.
And shouldn't we keep moving? What if Preacher comes after us?
He knows by now we've got the girl, Professor. He's not going to crowd us too much. From everything I've heard about him, he's a smart bastard. He'll have figured out by now that we're going to have to work a swap.
A swap?
That's right. The treasure for Señorita Alvarez. Speaking of which...
Juanita was starting to come around now. While Arnie hung on to her, Kobe took some rawhide thongs from his possible bags and used them to tie her wrists.
There you go. It'll make you a little easier to handle.
Professor, you must help me.
I'm sorry, my dear, but I'm afraid I can't do that. You see, these men are my business associates.
Then you are a thief and a murderer, too.
Sadly, true.
Why have I been abducted? I have never done anything to harm any of you men.
You know damn good and well why we grabbed you.
You're our key to obtaining the lost treasure of Mission Santo Domingo, Senorita. Surely, in order to ensure your safety, your brother will turn over the treasure to us.
You want to trade me for the treasure?
That is essentially correct.
What's so damn funny?
You know not know Father Hortensio. He will not allow anything to divert him from his holy quest. Not even my life.
You're saying he won't turn over the treasure?
Of course not. My life means nothing to him in comparison to his devotion to the church.
He's just one man, and a priest to boot. He won't be able to stop your brother from dealing with us, and he sure as hell won't be able to stop Preacher.
And do you think Senor Preacher will meekly go along with your plan?
He damned well better go along with it. Otherwise, you're going to be one dead, Senorita.
Preacher rode slowly down the canyon, guiding horse with his knees because he had both hands on his rifle, ready to fire at the first sign of a threat. Dog walked in front of him, ears pricked forward. The big cur had wandered up after all the trouble was over, one of the few times since he had been with Preacher that he had missed a fracas. Now, though, Preacher was mighty glad to have Dog with him. His senses were even sharper than Preacher's.
Oh, horse.
Arnie Ross eased around the bend in front of Preacher. Not for a second, though, did Preacher believe that he was alone. One or more of the other hard cases would be with him. He might even have guns lined in on Preacher at this very moment.
First thing I gotta say to you, fat man, is that if your pards try to bushwhack me, you won't never get your hands on that treasure.
Why not? Seems to me it'd be smart to get rid of the most dangerous enemy while we got the chance.
Because if I don't come back, Esteban Alvarez will make sure nobody ever gets it. He's gonna blow it to kingdom come.
What? How in the blaze is he gonna do that?
There are fumes down in the cave where the loot is. They seep up from somewhere deep in the earth. And if they build up enough, a spark will set them off and blow that whole side of the cliff off.
Well, that's crazy.
Yep, just fact. Ask the professor about it if you don't believe me. He ought to know enough about such things to know that I'm telling the truth.
It couldn't be that bad. You and the mech's been climbing up and down out of that hole all day.
Yeah, but that shaft lets fresh air into the cave. It stunk a whole lot worse when we first opened it up. Damn near knocked out one of them Yakis, and it had a small hole to let the fresh air in even then. Now it's sealed up tight with rocks on top of the hole.
You did that?
You're goddamn right we did. But before we closed it up, we put a pistol down there, cocked and primed with a string tied to the trigger. The string runs up the shaft to the surface. See, we left just enough room for it when we piled up the rocks to close the entrance. Yeah, by now them fumes are probably built up to where they'd make a mighty big blast if something was to set them off. And all it'll take is one pull of that string.
Whoever pulled on it would blow himself up too.
Because we tied several ropes to the end of that string. It can be pulled from far enough distance so that whoever yanks on it will have a chance to get clear before the cliff comes down.
The fat man scrubbed a hand over his face. He turned and made a slight motion, and Preacher knew he was signaling his companions not to shoot. He didn't want to take a chance if Preacher was telling the truth. Which he wasn't, by the way. It was all a pack of lies, but hell, that fat man didn't have to know that.
All right. Say what you came here to say.
I reckon you want to trade the girl for the gold.
Not just the gold. The whole treasure. All of it.
Yeah, that's what I meant. How do we know Senorita Juanita's still all right?
You'll have to take my word for it. But we can't very well expect to trade her if she ain't all right, now can we?
She better not be hurt in any way.
Don't worry. Ain't nobody bothered her. Kobe's seen to that.
He's your boss, is he?
He's the one running things, yeah. And he's a mighty dangerous man, so you better not try any tricks.
No tricks, just a straight swap. You bring the girl back up and give her to us, and we'll ride away and leave the treasure in the hole for you.
You'd already brought some of it up.
Yeah, we had, but it's back in the hole now, along with that cocked pistol.
How are we supposed to get the treasure if it's primed to blow?
All you have to do is move the rocks covering up the top of the hole. Then the gas will come out, and it'll be safe to climb down there and haul the stuff out. We did it without much trouble. Just be careful not to pull that string until you aired out the place. Might get more than you bargained for if you did.
All right, Preacher. A girl for the treasure, straight up. Now we'll bring her up here and give her to you, and you and the others ride off. We'll have you covered the whole time, though, in case you try anything.
No tricks. Juanita's life is worth more than a bunch of old relics and some bars of gold.
I'm glad you feel that way. How's that little priest feel about it?
He ain't happy, but he'll go along with the plan.
All right. We'll be back in an hour with the girl. And don't try to sneak any of them gold bars out, neither. You do, and the deal's off.
How many times have I got to tell you there won't be any tricks?
Remember that, or the girl's blood will be on your hands.
With that, the fat man ducked back around the bend.
Come on, Dog.
Preacher turned horse and started back up the canyon. The next hour was going to be a busy one. Juanita's captors had stuck her in the back of one of the wagons and left the man they called Wick to guard her. Wick was probably the biggest man she had ever seen, close to 7 feet tall and perhaps over 300 pounds. The sleeves and shoulders of his buckskin shirt bulged with massive muscles. Juanita could tell when she looked at him, however, that he had the mind of a child. That gave her some hope. Perhaps she could convince him to let her go. She knew that she would have to befriend him first, though. Juanita's hands were tied together in front of her. The rawhide thongs were tight enough so that her fingers had gone partially numb. She wasn't lying when she looked through the back of an open wagon.
Señor Wick, my hands hurt. These bonds are too tight. Could you loosen them a little?
No, ma'am, I can't. Colby told me to watch you and not do anything that you asked me to do. And I gotta do what Colby says.
Why? Is he your father?
My father? Colby? No, ma'am, he ain't. I don't rightly remember my pa. I don't think my ma really knowed who he was.
Your brother, then?
Nope. Ain't got no brother. Ain't had nobody since my ma died. Except for Colby. He's my friend. He's my good friend. He looks out for me.
How did you meet?
I don't know. It's been a while. Colby's been taking care of me for a long time. I think it was in St. Louis, or maybe Pittsburgh. Some town on a river. It's coming back to me now. I was on a dock unloading some boxes from a boat, and I dropped one of them. I didn't mean to, but I dropped it, and it busted open. And this fella laughed at me. And it made me mad, so I hit him.
You don't like for people to laugh at you?
No, ma'am, I don't. It makes me mad. So when that fella laughed at me, I hit him in the head, and he fell down. And a bunch of blood came out of his ears and his nose. And some other fella run up and looked at him and said he was dead. They said I had to go to jail. I didn't want to go to jail. But they made me after I hit some more fellas and made their heads bleed too. They said they was going to put a rope around my neck and string me up. Whatever that means. But that night before they could do it, Colby came and let me out of jail and said I was going to go with him. And he'd look after me from then on. He stuck a knife in the fella that was in charge of the jail so he could get me out. So I knew he really liked me. Ever since then, I stayed with Colby and done whatever he told me to do. He's my friend.
Juanita knew that friendship had nothing to do with it. Kobe had recognized the opportunity to ensure this giant's slavish devotion, and he had seized it. No doubt they had robbed and murdered their way all across the frontier, with Wick probably handling most of the violence, while Kobe planned their crimes. Kobe had gathered other ruthless men around him, but Wick was his own personal tool, an implement of death as sure as a gun or a knife was.
I understand why you feel the way you do about him. I really don't think he would mind, though, if you loosened these bonds on my wrists.
Oh, he said you might try to trick me so that you could run away. He don't want you to run away.
I cannot run away as long as I am in this wagon. And if I try to get out of the wagon, you can stop me. That has nothing to do with my hands hurting because my wrists are tied too tightly.
Well, I reckon that's true.
If you will loosen the thongs, I give you my word I will not try to run away.
Juanita felt bad about lying to him. No doubt he'd been lied to a great deal in his life. But there were greater concerns here. She knew her captors were going to try to trade her for the treasure. And Esteban would make such a trade too, even though losing the treasure would be a terrible blow to him. She couldn't let that happen if she could prevent it.
I guess I could look at your hands. Kobe didn't tell me I couldn't talk to you, or look at you, or touch you. He just said for me to keep you here, and for me not to hurt you.
If he told you not to hurt me, then I think he would want you to loose my bonds so that I am not in pain.
You think?
It seems to me that it would be so.
Let me see.
Juanita thrust her hands out toward him. He started to look at him, but then he got distracted. His gaze strayed to her breasts. His eyes widened. Juanita felt a chill go through her, but she tried not to show the revulsion she felt as he stared at her.
Them are mighty pretty titties, ma'am.
Thank you.
Can I touch them? Kobe says I gotta ask before I touch a lady's titties or do anything else like that with her.
I don't think you should. It would not be proper.
Oh. All right, then.
Wait. I think it would be all right if you touched them weak. Just a little, though.
Really?
Really. I do not think you should tell Kobe about it, though.
You reckon he'd mind?
Oh, no. He wouldn't mind. I would just prefer that it was our secret. Don't you ever keep secrets, Wick?
Not from Kobe.
Well, this time you have to. Otherwise you cannot do it, all right?
Wick stared at her breast for a long moment. Then he finally nodded his shaggy head.
All right.
You promise?
I swear.
Go ahead then.
Wick leaned closer and reached out with one huge hand. His fingertips touched the underside of her right breast through the fabric of her dress. He slid them forward gingerly until the whole thing was resting in the palm of his hand. His touch was gentle as he cupped that breast and then eased his hand over to the other one. Somehow, despite the riot of emotions going on inside her, Juanita kept a smile on her face and didn't shudder as he caressed her.
That's enough, Wick.
Wick obediently took his hand away.
Now, you said you would loosen these thongs around my wrists.
Oh, yeah.
Wick bent to the task, his sausage-like fingers fumbling as he worked with the knots. He poked the tip of his tongue out of his mouth as he frowned in concentration. Finally, the knots loosened, and Juanita tried not to grimace as feeling flowed painfully back into her hands.
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you.
I won't tell Kobe I loosened them. And I won't say anything to him about, petting your titties.
Yes, I think that would be best.
You're a really nice lady. I sure hope Kobe don't decide we gotta kill you.
It's agreed, then? We don't let any of them live except the girl?
Of course not, Professor. What sort of dumb bastards would we have to be to do that?
I just don't want this coming back to haunt us later.
It won't. And as soon as we've had our fill of the girl, she'll have to die too.
That's all too true. No witnesses to testify against us.
No witnesses.
The two men stood under a tree near the mouth of the canyon. Kobe had heard somebody coming and wasn't surprised when Arnie Ross, Burt McDermott, George Worthy, and Chuck Stilson came into view, trudging out of the canyon. Kobe went to meet them.
Somebody come down to parley?
Preacher his own self.
Did you get a chance to bushwhack him? I didn't hear no shots.
Well, we couldn't shoot him. Before he came down to meet us, he put all the loot back in the cave and rigged the whole place to blow up if he didn't come back.
What? Oh, now how in the hell did he do that?
Quickly, Arnie explained about the gas buildup in the cave and the pistol Preacher had set up to explode it if the string tied to its trigger was pulled.
It could well be true. Such volcanic gas will explode if a sufficient concentration builds up. Plugging the shaft down into the cave might accomplish that. It's rather an ingenious thing to do, actually.
Yeah, but he was bluffing.
Well, how you figure?
That Avarez kid ain't gonna blow up the loot while we still got his sister. No matter what happens to the preacher.
Damn it, you're right.
Preacher just wanted to throw you off balance long enough so that he could get out of there alive. Looks like he did it, too.
Kobe, it don't matter. He agreed that they'd trade the treasure for the girl, and after we've made the swap, we're gonna kill them all anyway, ain't we?
Yeah, but it would have been easier if Preacher was already dead.
Well, what's done is done.
What's the deal?
We bring up the girl over to the top of the canyon and turn her over to Preacher and the others. They ride away, leaving the treasure down there in the hole so we can take it out again.
I thought you said the cave was full of gas.
We gotta open up the shaft again and let it air out for a while. Then it'll be all right to go down and get the loot.
Kobe looked at Chambers.
Yes, it should be fine. They had a fire down there at one point, so the gas concentration must be very low when the shaft is open. We should probably wait an hour or two after it's opened up, just to make sure.
All right. We give them the girl, they start to ride away, and we shoot them. That's simple enough.
Preacher's liable to be watching for a double cross.
I don't give a shit. We'll have him outgunned.
We're liable to have a fight on our hands.
Think about all that gold and silver. And think about that girl. If all that ain't worth fighting and killing for, then I don't know what is.
Preacher had some figuring to do, because he was damned if he was going to hand that treasure over to Chambers and those other bastards. He knew there was no damn way in hell the thieves would let him and the others just ride away. That fat man had lied to him. Double cross was a certainty. Probably at the moment when Juanita was handed back over to him, or right after that. There were steps he could take to make that less likely. For one thing, they would put all the treasure back down in the cave and make things look like the place was rigged to blow up, just as Preacher had told the fat man. The possibility of the cave and all the treasure being blown to kingdom come would certainly make the thieves think twice about trying anything. In the end, though, Chambers and Kobe would feel like they couldn't afford to let Preacher and his companions live. They would have to do something. Preacher reached the top of the canyon and started across the shelf toward the cliff and the cave beneath it.
What is it, dog?
With a nudge of his heels, Preacher sent Horace trotting forward at a faster pace. Within a few moments, he came in sight of the area around the cave. He noticed right away that Esteban's horse and the two other horses were gone. Alarm bells rang in his brain. The horses could have pulled loose from where they were tethered and wandered off, although Preacher figured that wasn't likely. But he didn't see anybody moving around the side either. He expected Esteban would have come hurrying out to meet him to see how the parley with Juanita's kidnappers had gone. And he should have been able to see Father Hortensio and the two Yaquis as well.
Esteban! Hey, Padre!
Preacher spotted a limp figure sprawled on the ground near the opening of the shaft. Preacher ran over to Esteban Alvarez and dropped to a knee beside the young man's motionless body. Esteban lay face down. His sombrero had fallen off and lay next to him. Preacher saw blood welling from a swollen gash on the back of his head. Somebody had clouted the youngster a good one. Carefully, Preacher turned Esteban over, wadding up the young man's sombrero and placing it under his injured head to cushion it. preacher's fingers pressed against Esteban's neck, searching for a pulse. He found one, beating strong and fairly regularly.
Esteban, wake up, hombre. Tell me what happened.
Preacher's gaze darted around the area, searching for any sign of Father Hortensio, Pablo, or Joaquin. The three men were gone, vanished just like the horses. Preacher's eyes narrowed as he noticed that the pile of sacks containing the holy relics from Mission Santo Domingo weren't there anymore either. Nor was the chest that had contained gold ingots. The suspicion that began to lurk in his head was not a pretty one.
Come on, you better get your wits back about you, son. We got all kinds of trouble here.
Preacher?
Yeah, that's right. What happened here whilst I was gone?
Someone hit me.
I figured that much. Did you see who it was?
Not sure. I had been arguing with Father Hortensio when I saw one of the Yaquis step behind me. Then I was struck down, and I remember nothing more until just now.
One of the Yaquis hit you?
That didn't come as a complete surprise to Preacher, since he hadn't seen any sign that anyone else had been up here. Still, it was something of a shock, considering what devoted servants the Indians had seemed to be.
I cannot be sure, but no one else was around. Yes, he must have been Pablo or Joaquin. He motioned to whoever was behind me.
The padre betrayed you.
See, though it pains me to admit it, Father Hortensio betrayed me. He told the Yaqui to strike me down.
Well, why would he do that? What had the two of you been arguing about?
The treasure. He said it belonged to the Holy Mother Church and that he could not allow it to fall into the hands of heathens.
What about your sister?
He said that he was sorry about Juanita, but the needs of the church came first.
God damn.
Esteban struggled to a sitting position, clawing at the sleeve of Preacher's buckskin shirt as he did so. Preacher put an arm around his shoulders to help him sit up.
He had one of the Yaquis knock me unconscious so that he could steal the treasure.
Yeah, it sure looks that way. Padre wouldn't see it like that, though. To his way of thinking, he was saving the treasure, not stealing it.
But how did he get away? Where did he go?
I ain't sure about that, but he sure as blazes went somewhere. Him and those Yaquis didn't just flap their arms and fly off like big old birds.
What about Juanita? How can we trade the treasure for her if Father Hortensio has taken it?
Don't start worrying about that yet. You just lay back and rest for a minute whilst I look around.
Esteban didn't want to rest. He wanted to get up and rush around looking for Father Hortensio and the Yaquis. But Preacher wouldn't let him, and Esteban was still too weak to stand anyway. Preacher convinced him to lie back down. Preacher stalked over to the spot where the bags of loot and the chest of gold had been left earlier. The rope was missing, too. Preacher stared at the hole for a moment, then grimaced and lowered himself into it, bracing himself against the walls and inching down the shaft as he had climbed up it earlier. Preacher reached the drop-off and let himself slide, catching the edge with his hands just long enough to break his fall before he let go and dropped the rest of the way to the floor of the cave. Preacher was in darkness. The fire had gone out. But working by feel, he was able to gather up enough unburned brush to start a small fire with his flint and steel. Looking around by the flickering glow, he saw that the other chests had been emptied of gold ingots as well, just as he had expected. They were lying around haphazardly, wherever they had landed when they had been tossed back down the hole. Preacher counted the empty chests. There were 8 of them. He was pretty sure that was how many had been down here to start with. Father Hortensio and the Yaquis had been busy while he was gone. After knocking out Esteban, they had hauled up the rest of the chest, taken out the gold, and thrown the chest back down the hole. Preacher wondered about that for a moment, but then he realized it had been a shrewd move on Father Hortensio's part. Preacher had been forced to spend some time climbing down here just to make sure the gold was gone. That was time he hadn't been able to use getting on the trail of the priest and the two Indians. Preacher quickly climbed out of the cave. When Preacher reached the top and crawled out of the opening, he found Esteban sitting up again.
The gold?
All gone.
But how? How could they carry it all away? Where did they go?
They had 3 horses and some rope. I reckon they tied the bags of relics together and slung them over the backs of the horses. Somehow they rigged some other bags for the gold and tied those to the horses so they could drag them.
But the weight would be tremendous.
Yeah, it would. And it would wear out the horses pretty quick, too. But I reckon Father Hortensio figured if he could get away from here, he could stop and let the horses rest as often as he needed to.
They did not go down the canyon. You would have seen them.
Yep. And they wouldn't go that way to start off with because Chambers and the others are down at the bottom. They went somewhere else. Preacher got hold of horse's reins. And I aim to find out where.
What can I do to help?
Stay here. You still got a pistol and a rifle in case Chambers and his bunch show up. Take cover and try to hold them off. If I hear shooting, I'll light a shuck back here. With any luck, though, I'll find what I'm looking for and be back here before they show up to make the trade. Horses didn't leave much sign on this dry, rocky ground, but it didn't take much for a man with eyes as keen as Preacher's. He found tracks that indicated three men on foot and three horses had started off toward the eastern end of the shelf. As he followed the tracks, he saw some scuff marks on the ground that confirmed his earlier guess. The horses were dragging something heavy behind them. Bags full of gold bars, no doubt. Preacher hadn't been on this part of the shelf before. His searching had been concentrated on the other end, and the actual location of the treasure cave was more toward the middle of the flat land that shouldered out from the side of the mountain. So it came as a surprise to him when he found a narrow trail leading off around the mountain. He wasn't too surprised, though. He had known that Father Hortensio and the Yaquis were heading somewhere, so there had to be another way off this shelf. The trail was nothing more than a ledge that was just wide enough for a horse to negotiate it. The men had led the horses along it, with a sheer rock wall to their left and a drop of several hundred feet to their right. It must have been a harrowing trip, where one misstep would mean a long plunge to a crash and death. Preacher looked down the cliff, searching for any smashed bodies of man or horse. He didn't see any. Father Hortensio and the two servants had made it without falling, at least farther than Preacher could see. Preacher wheeled horse around and galloped back to where he had left Esteban. There was no sign of Chambers, Kobe, and the others. Without dismounting, Preacher held out a hand to Esteban. Come on!
Come on? Where? Did you find out what happened to Father Hortensio and the Yaquis?
There's another trail over yonder. It ain't much of one, but it was enough for them to be able to get out of here. We gotta do the same thing.
But what about Juanita? We cannot abandon her to being a prisoner of those men.
We ain't abandoning her, but we can't do her any good by staying here. There's only one way we can help her, and that's by getting that loot back and using it to bargain with the bastards who've got her.
I suppose you are right, Preacher. But when they come up here expecting to make the trade and find us gone, what will they do then?
I ain't sure. But they do know the only chance they got of swapping for the treasure is to keep Juanita safe, alive, and unharmed. You hang on to that hope, Esteban, and I will too.
Preacher and Esteban rode away, trailed by Dog, leaving the now empty cave behind them.